It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the show. And happy Thursday to each and every one of you. I appreciate each and every one of you listening. You're valued. You're treasured. You have a purpose. Live with intention today and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And always like to say thank you to this great team I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And in studio with me is my friend Marshall Dawson. He is president of Liberty Toastmasters North. Marshall, it's great to have you here.
Yeah, good morning, Kim. What a balmy trip down here this morning.
Yes. I would recommend allow a little extra time today. Beautiful snow today. Life-giving snow. And as producer Steve, as I was driving in and I was looking at the trees, I'm thinking, what an artist our creator is. It's absolutely spectacular out there.
You're setting yourself up here. You're looking at the trees and not the road?
Well, I needed to look at the road as well, but it do allow a little extra time and just pause and just realize this is a life-giving snow and just how beautiful it is. Marshall, it's always great when we have Liberty Toastmasters Day because our fellow Toastmasters, we give them a couple of table topics questions, and I never know what I'm going to learn from this.
Yeah, this is fun. In fact, I was saying this just the other day when I was moderating table topics, that I always come away smarter just by asking the questions and letting our Toastmaster friends answer and really give me some intelligence. So this is going to be great.
Well, it is. And we've got a couple of questions that we have given them. Normally with table topics, it's totally impromptu.
Right.
But we've actually given them some things to think about. The two questions that we'll talk about in the third and fourth segment is, what is the difference between individual rights and entitlements? And the second question, in America, is there a right to violate other individuals' rights? This is going to be heady, I think.
It will be.
And before we get into all of this, actually, Steve, the girls came over last night, and
I heard you.
We live kind of close to each other. Robust discussion. We talked a lot about election integrity. Holly Kasem presented. And I, of course, had Hooters wings. I have a new favorite rub on those smoked wings, and that is lemon barbecue rub, or the lemon rub, and it was delicious. I guess I ate it. I didn't really pay attention to exactly what the name of it is.
Well, I've come to learn, unless you're part of the establishment on the Wednesday night women's gathering, you don't get even close to the table. So I'll take your word for it. Actually, we'll go out there and order some for ourselves.
Well, you should do that. And they have all kinds of specials. And go to my website, kimbunson.com. Go to the sponsor icon, click on Hooters, and it has all of the specials for February. And, of course, we'll be getting all the March specials there very, very soon. And I really appreciate their partnership. And another great partner of mine is Castlegate Knife and Tool. Hal Van Herke and Linnea Van Herke own this business. It's a family-owned business. It's located right here in Sedalia, Colorado, which I'd recommend to just take a trek one of these weekends and go down and visit castlegate.com. There's some fun little restaurants down there in Sedalia as well. It's a great taste of Americana. But having the right tool or the right knife for the job is so important. So whether or not you're a chef or you are a collector or a sportsman, go to Castlegate Knife and Tool. Their website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. They're starting all kinds of new things. They're doing some custom rifles. They're going to start the sharpening service. And they're truly entrepreneurs and great partners of mine as well. And you can go to my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to help support keeping our independent voice on the air with our show and our podcast and everything else that we're doing. Now, Steve, this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m., is our America's Veterans Story show. And our guest is Marge Mazzillo, World War II Marine veteran, one of the very first women that was serving in the Marines, and then also Paula Sarles, who is a Vietnam-era Marine veteran and a Gold Star wife, and she is working diligently on this remodel of the Marine Memorial out in Golden. So that's all very exciting as well. So we're going to go ahead and jump in here now. Are you ready, Marshall?
I'm ready.
Okay, our quote for the day. I was thinking about communication, and I'm not familiar with this guy, but I should be. Jim Rohn. For more than 40 years, he honed his craft like a skilled artist, helping people the world over sculpt life strategies that expanded their imagination of what is possible. Those who had the privilege of hearing him can speak and can attest to the elegance and common sense of his material. It is no coincidence, then, that he is still widely regarded as one of the most influential thinkers of our time, and thought of by many as a national treasure. He authored countless books and audio and video programs and helped motivate and shape an entire generation of personal development trainers and hundreds of executives from America's top corporations. He was born in 1930 and he died in 2009. But he has a whole bunch of different quotes about communication. And this is what he said on this first one. Successful people have libraries. The rest have big screen TVs. What do you think of that, Marshall?
Pretty prescient right there. I think that what he's saying is that the people who are smart tend to be readers. And we get a lot of our intelligence, a lot of the things that we're able to talk about from reading books.
Do you remember, did you ever see the movie about Ben Carson, Gifted Hands, by any chance?
I don't think I did.
It was really fascinating. He and his brother, his mother was a single mother, and he and his brother were watching TV. She was working a couple of different jobs, and she was cleaning house for, I think it was a professor or a teacher, and she went into the house her first day on the job, and he had books everywhere. And she said, "Have you read all these?" He said, "Well, most of them." So that night she comes home from work, and the boys are sitting on the couch. This was in the 50s probably, watching television. She turns off the TV, and she said, "You are going to give me a book report every week." And she said, "You do not get to watch any TV until that happens." And that really changed his life, where he and his brother had to start to read. So he becomes this brain surgeon and, of course, then becomes the secretary of HUD as well. And his brother, a very successful engineer, and it's because she turned the TV off and made them do a book report.
Well, that's just child abuse these days.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. But I thought that was just a really, really, really a great quote.
Yeah.
And let's go ahead and talk about our bill of the day here, Marshall. Patty is low-lighting many of the things that are coming out here. And this is House Bill 21-1115. And my friends, if something originates in the House, it's an HB. If it originates in the Senate here in Colorado, it's an SB. And then it'll have the year and then the bill number. So you can actually search for this on your computer and check it out. It would be Colorado legislation, House Bill 21-1115. The sponsors are Representatives Kip and Mullica and Senators Priola and Janal. And the bill summary says it's a bill that specifies that members of a county or district board of health are not allowed to serve concurrently as members of a board of county commissioners and as members of a county or district board of health. The bill also allows members of a county or district board of health to be removed for malfeasance or other specified reasons. And this actually overrules many of our home rule cities as well. And we have seen, Marshall, this tremendous grab of power. And it's been a long time in the making. If you search for Article 25 here in Colorado, it is the legislation that put in place giving all of this power to these boards of health. And I checked it, about 3 weeks ago, and it was well over 1,000 pages.
Wow.
And so now we realize that it is the county commissioners that actually appoint these people that are on the board of health. And they become, in essence, and then they hire the executive director. So in essence, it takes away we the people being able to really have a voice in this, because these boards of health, we've seen they've gotten out of control with their power. And now, where we would have a situation where your county commissioner could be on the board of health, this legislation would say no.
Yeah, and I really dislike situations where elected officials can put a layer between themselves and accountability, right? And that's really the problem that we're seeing with these boards of health, is they're not accountable.
Well, and you also see this with all the boards and commissions that happens, because, again, it removes the responsibility. The elected official can now say, oh, this board or this commission is recommending this, and it takes away that responsibility, because they feel if they actually had to answer to the voters, they might not get reelected.
That's right. And these boards, you know, if they're pure at heart, they're making purely medical decisions and medical determinations. But they're not in place to make economic decisions and policy decisions and things that will affect our normal daily lives.
What do you think about, on these boards of health, having at least some business owners? What do you think about that? Because I was having a conversation recently about that, about who we would have on these boards of health. And the fact that we've closed down these businesses, what that has done to their economic health, their stress levels, has been significant. And it seems like a lot of these people that are the directors of these boards of health don't seem to care.
Well, certainly business owners would be what we would call stakeholders. And we're going to hear a lot about that coming up in the next administration of, you know, stakeholders and equity and things like that. I don't know how you would enforce that. I don't know how you would mandate that business owners are part of these boards. But I think there would be a lot of benefit there. And you know that there's going to be slings and arrows coming from the other side. Oh, these people only care about money. They only care about the dollar. But this really needs to be part of the decision-making process.
It really does. But here we have, down here at the legislature, taking away the power of the people to actually have your county commissioners, your elected officials, serve on these boards of health. And they're the ones who actually appoint the directors of that. So I think this, and it's overruling Home Rule City, so I think that there could be a constitutional challenge on it. I'm not an attorney, but that as I was driving in today, I thought possibility, and there's the possibility that might be the case.
Yeah, you don't have to be an attorney. I think you can just be a prognosticator, right? Here's another line here that kind of gives me pause, and that is, the bill also allows members of a county or district board of health to be removed for malfeasance or other specified reasons. What's that going to be? How's that going to work? How can we remove some of these people? I think they're just throwing that in there as a, you know, they're throwing us a bone. I don't think that really means much of anything.
Okay. And one other thing, Representative Bullica, his wife actually was serving on the Tri-County Board of Health, which I think she still is. And that seems to me like that's a very kind of close relationship.
As one of the commissioners or one of the decision makers?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Well, so she's on the board, and then they hire the executive director.
Okay.
So his wife is on that board. Steve, did you have a comment? Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. Email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And if you'd like to contribute and keep our independent voice out there and fighting, we appreciate that as well. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She is one of the few people in America that read the complete Unaffordable Care Act. What did you refer to that as, PUCA, the other day, Jill Vecchio?
Yeah, it's initially the PPACA, and I call it the Patient Exposure and Unaffordable Care Act, so that would be PUCA.
I love having you on. Thursdays, normally we get to talk to you in the second segment. Last night, you were over at the house. Did you get any of those Hooters wings by any chance?
I did have a Hooters wing. Yes, I did.
And they're just pretty darn good. Hey, yeah. Let's talk about the vaccine. It's all over the news. And what I'm concerned about is force. Being forced to take the vaccine instead of informed consent. What do you think about that, Jill?
Before I answer that, can I add to your Ben Carson story?
Sure.
I was listening because we had him on our radio show years ago, too, when he was running for president, and he's just such an elegant, wonderful, neat man. But he also said that the boys had to write a book report and turn it into their mother, but what they didn't know at the time was that the mother couldn't read.
Right.
So she would mark up the book reports as if she was, you know, critiquing them and reading them, but she couldn't even read herself. So that just added to the story, that she just put on as if she could read to force these kids to do their book reports. And I thought that was really cute. It was a good ploy for her.
A great ploy. And that movie is Gifted Hands. I would highly recommend that you watch that. It's a great movie.
Yes. He's a really neat man. To answer your question, yes, there's a good YouTube video if people want to watch. It's called on a station called Valuetainment, Valuetainment. Valuetainment. This guy does great interviews. But he had one with Alan Dershowitz versus Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has his whole website on vaccinations, really great research, really great stories on the truth about vaccinations. He's not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. But the vaccine needs to be proven to be safe. And in my opinion, the pharmaceutical companies issuing the vaccine have to be liable for the product that they're putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of those things has been enforced since 1986 or 89, when they passed the legislation, Congress passed legislation absolving pharmaceutical companies from liability from any adverse effects of vaccines, long or short term, because the pharmaceutical industry threatened to stop making vaccines because there were all of these adverse reactions.
Okay.
So the adverse reactions to vaccines have increased steadily over time. You look at autism, autoimmune disease. I mean, both of those things, when I was in medical school, 30 years ago,
you were five.
Medical school, scary. You didn't hear about, we were taught about autism and autoimmune disease, but they were rare. These were not common things. Now it's all over the place. And you have to look at what are the common denominators here, right? In order for anything to be, and let me back up. Alan Dershowitz said, even on Fox News or some news interview, that naturally went viral and everybody played it. He said, yes, the federal government has every constitutional right to force you to have a vaccine.
I saw
have
that
the right
interview.
To come into your home. Right. So this Valuetainment interviewer had both of those gentlemen on, and they know each other really well, and they're good friends. And they had a bunch of talks together before they did this kind of interview, and they said, you know what, we've come to a real consensus here, and this isn't going to be a debate because we agree on things. Constitutionally, Alan Dershowitz was kind of quoting the part in the very first paragraph of the Constitution that says, if I can look it up here for a second, I had it and then I went further into the Constitution. Here we go. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution. So in the very first paragraph, promote the general welfare, it could be implied that that would include preventing disease from wiping out your population.
Okay.
Right? So there are multiple other places, the First, Second, or the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the 14th Amendment are used to say, no, the government can't force us to do things that could harm our persons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the argument kind of for and against forcing us to have a vaccine.
A forced vaccination, okay.
Right, forced vaccination. Then there are actually a lot of different rules and laws about human experimentation. So when the vaccines were being tested worldwide, supposedly, and anytime you're doing medical research, there are whole laundry lists of requirements before you can do any kind of a study on a person, because they have to have informed consent and all this. So there has to be informed consent.
And that really came out of, and isn't that, like, Jill, isn't there something internationally? I'm pretty sure that when one of our listeners had sent something over, that it's like international agreement that, because coming out of at World War II, where there was experimentation on human beings, it's like you can't do that. So I think that is what you're referring to?
Well, partly. Because it's kind of started with the Nuremberg Code.
Okay.
After World War II, when they found out Germany had been doing, these doctors had been doing horrendous experiments in the concentration camps, but Dr. Mengele, right, Joseph Mengele,
mm-hmm.
they wrote up the Nuremberg Code, which was kind of an international law, but then different countries codified it in other ways on a national level through their own governments. And ours did it as well. And actually, there are many. But from a very practical standpoint, it's always has to be informed consent. You can't do this against somebody's will. The problem is with these vaccines, does anybody do an informed consent? And we've talked about this before. When you've had the flu vaccine for years and years and years, has anybody sat you down and say, These are the numbers. This is what it does. This is what it doesn't do. This is the chance that you won't get the flu. These are the risks that you're going to take short and long term. Never. Mm-hmm. Do they ever do that for measles, mumps, rubella, tetanus? No. I cannot practice medicine at a hospital. I can't get credentialed unless I have all these crazy vaccines. Now, that to me, in and of itself, is unconstitutional. You're violating my constitutional rights by forcing me to do this in order to practice
mm-hmm.
medicine. You know,
your pursuit of happiness, if you will. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Life. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, technically, because I have autoimmune disease. Wow, maybe it's from all the vaccines I was forced to have.
Okay.
And including like hepatitis B, and you have to keep getting the tetanus and MMRs and all this junk. And why am I being? They've combined these vaccines. Why am I being vaccinated for diphtheria? Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Diphtheria, the DB, pertussis. Really? I am not at risk for pertussis. I am not at risk for diphtheria. Why do I have to have a vaccine that has that in it?
So, Jill,
it's really ridiculous.
So we've got about a minute. How would you wrap this up for listeners this morning?
Know your rights. Know your rights. They cannot, on an individual basis, they can bully us easily. If somebody tries to bully you, and there are people that are being fired for not taking this vaccine. And in the healthcare industry, I'm hearing stories. I don't know anyone personally that has.
Well, that seems.
But I can tell you, when it comes to just the flu vaccine, they're like, either you have to wear a mask, from October to March, every single day, all day long during flu season, if you choose not to have the flu vaccine. And that was asinine then, and it's asinine now.
So,
period.
So I would say, A, it's unconstitutional. B, it is an assault on really property rights, the right of your body when somebody is coming in and forcing something on that. So what do we do? What do we do on this? Because we can see this is coming down the pike. They're going to say you have to have vaccine to fly, to go to a concert, whatever. What would you say to that?
I would say that we need to gang together, and I'm not saying, you know, grab your rifles, but we need to organize ourselves, talk to each other.
Okay.
And create a mounted front, because it's too easy. It's so easy for them to bully us on an individual level.
Okay. Well, let's continue this conversation.
If somebody is threatened, contact media. Put it out there on social media. We have to support each other in these things and present a united front against this. That's the only way it's going to happen.
Okay. So if anybody is facing something like this, email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And Jill, let's continue this conversation, because the Constitution was put in place for a very good reason, and that was to protect everyday people, our life, our liberty, our pursuit of happiness. So we'll continue the conversation. Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much.
Take care.
Okay. Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management, do you want to weigh in on the conversation we just had about constitutionality of a forced vaccine?
Well, Kim, I'm certainly not a constitutional lawyer, but I find it hard to believe that the government should be able to stick anything into me, although they've been sticking it to me for many, many years like the rest of us, but especially not for a mild germ like this. Now, if this was something where people were getting it and then, literally dropping dead a few days later, and it was like the bubonic plague, I might feel a little bit differently, but I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine any constitutional way that the government can stick something inside of you.
Well, and to that point, informed consent, if the bubonic plague is occurring and you actually, you know, weigh everything in the battle of ideas, it may seem like a really good idea to do that, and you would probably choose to do that, or you would pass on from the bubonic plague. But what about the markets? Let's do a quick update on that.
Well, the markets actually had a pretty good day yesterday. The Dow was the leader, breaking to new highs, up about 425 points. NASDAQ did pretty good too, Kim. That popped up as well, about 132, so that was 1%. Now, NASDAQ and some of the tech stocks have been, you know, under a little bit of pressure here for the last week and a half or so. You know, some of them have broken below some initial support levels on, you know, increasing volume, so there's some sellers that have come in. It's always hard to tell, though, Kim, is this a big correction or just a small pullback on those, because, you know, every big correction starts out as a small pullback. So mm-hmm. It's too early to tell, but it looks like there is a little bit of rotation going on right now, maybe out of some of the high tech into a little bit more value-oriented, and also small caps.
Okay. Well, Jason McBride, they say it's a good idea to buy low and sell high. The market is at all-time highs. Maybe some cash, not giving advice, but people are individuals, but maybe moving some into cash might be a good idea. How can people reach you if they want to have a conversation about their particular portfolio?
Well, Kim, easy way. Give us a call at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, and we're happy to sit down with folks and help them take a look at what they've got going on and make suggestions if they're needed or welcomed.
Okay, Jason McBride, thank you so much. He is a Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow. And we're going to go to break. And in studio with me is Marshall Dawson. He is the president of Liberty Toastmasters North, and we have a number of our colleagues teed up here, Marshall.
That's right. We're going to be talking to him coming up in the second half of the hour.
So we'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get first look at all of the upcoming guests, the most recent podcasts. We did a podcast last week with both Dr. Jill Vecchio and another one with Kevin Sorbo, and you can get those at the website and email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And we do appreciate your support in keeping our voice on the air, and you can contribute there at the website as well. In studio with me is Marshall Dawson. He is the president of Liberty Toastmasters North. I actually belong to Liberty Toastmasters Denver, but it is a great organization to help people learn to communicate better.
Yeah, communicate is the right way to put it. A lot of people come in thinking that they're going to learn public speaking, but it's so much more than that. It's interpersonal communication, it's listening, it's all the different types of communicating that we do throughout our day.
And the first time I went to Liberty Toastmasters and did table topics, I was terrified because it's an impromptu question and you have 2 to 3 minutes to respond. Isn't it 2 to 3 minutes, or is it 1 to 2 minutes?
It's 1 to 2.
One to 2 minutes. Yeah. And it still is difficult, but we learn so much. So today we're going to have some of our colleagues join us here, and we've got a couple of questions. How can people get more information about Liberty Toastmasters, Marshall?
What I tell people is go to toastmasters.org and then look across the top. There's Find a Club. If you want to learn more about the organization, there's plenty of that there, but if you want to find a club, say in Longmont, if you want to find us, just punch in Longmont right there, and we'll pop right up, Liberty Toastmasters North.
Okay. Well, let's jump in here. We have our guests on the line here, so let's jump in. What's the question that we have on the table?
Well, we have two topics that people can talk about today. Number one, what is the difference between individual rights and entitlements? Or number two, in America, is there a right to violate others' individual rights?
Okay. So who is our first caller today?
Our first caller is Jen Orvitz, and she's part of the club in Longmont.
Okay.
Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
What are your thoughts here?
Well, thank you, Kim and Marshall, we're practicing our communication, and individual rights is such an important piece of being an American, and it is the right to your mind, your life, your liberty, and all of that encompassed into property. And we have a right to these natural rights, these individual rights, as long as it's not disrupting anyone else's individual rights. And I think that's the key. So no, we don't have the right to disrupt anyone else's. I think when looking at entitlements and individual rights, I think the problem arises when we make entitlements individual rights and confuse those. It almost devalues, because individual rights are so critical to a human being's well-being, that when we put things, for example, like education into individual rights, although that's very important, it can devalue what individual rights are, because and for some people, they may not value education, for example. So it's, you know, I consider entitlement to be something given, provided through policy. And what's important to one isn't always important to the other. And therefore, I don't like them, like it when they are, when that line is blurred. And no, every American should have their individual rights, and they should not be violated.
Jen Orvis, we're off to the races on making my brain. I'm going to be thinking about this all day. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, and Marshall, who's our next guest?
Well, our next guest is Kurt Gerwitz. Good morning, Kurt. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'll tell you, this is quite the difficult subject. I tried to prepare a little last night. I hopped onto Wikipedia there and looked up rights, and I was exonerated to find that rights themselves are it's a complicated subject. It's disputed amongst academics and other thinkers and legal scholars. That rights are not cleanly understood. So I'm going to use one of my Toastmasters skills and pivot into something I'm more comfortable talking about, which is I'm going to jump on to gratitude is my new approach to life. And that one has more clarity in my mind for its usefulness, as the science really has come about to say, like, it's a real antidote to anxiety and mental problems and that a lot of us are facing with the COVID lockdown, and a lot of us are facing because of how social media has interacted in our lives. And, you know, this new generation, Generation Z, is the loneliest generation, even though they're more connected than ever. And in my own life, I can tell you that my practice of gratitude is tremendous. I'm using an app that reminds me three times a day. This might sound weird, but it reminds me that I'm going to die, and it has some deep philosophical quote. But the idea is to embrace the ephemeral nature of things, and it keeps things light and bright. And what happens is sometimes I'm feeling anxious and just working at my desk and Zoom and sitting in my room and not having enough human interaction, and then this app will remind me that my problems are temporary, and that this too shall pass, and that that really all my problems are first world problems. So, sorry, I don't have much to say about rights, but gratitude is really the emphasis on my mind these days.
Kurt, I so appreciate your thoughts on that, because I've been going through that same thought process. And gratitude, to be grateful, means there's someone to be grateful to as well. And gratitude is really important. And when you're grateful, then you can't actually be feeling like a victim, and I think it takes away anxiety. So, Kurt, thank you so much for your thoughts this morning.
Thank you, Kim.
Marshall, and our next guest.
Our next guest is Greg Morrissey from Longmont. And Greg, we're talking about individual rights and entitlements, or is it right to violate individual rights? What say you?
The article I found here, it's Thoughts on a Free Market Economy, Rights versus Entitlements, and it's the topic of healthcare. The topic of healthcare in America continues to be a headline in the daily newspapers and TV. America is generally recognized as having the best healthcare system in the world, so why is the subject always in the news? The reason is this misunderstanding between individual rights and benefits guaranteed by the government. The Declaration of Independence expressed unalienable rights, which are enumerated in the U.S. Constitution as the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. These were the rights to live by one's personal efforts without interference of others, specifically without interference by government. There's never a guarantee that effort equates to success. The right to pursue happiness does not guarantee that one will achieve happiness. In the 20th and 21st centuries, groups have sought to add a host of activities, products, services to original rights expressed in the Declaration. Among these are the right to employment, minimum wage, certain quality of housing, race, gender representation in the workplace. Freedom from economic insecurity, guaranteed health care, we hear about rights of minorities and handicaps, women's rights of gays and lesbians, even the rights of animals. But there's a deep chasm between unalienable rights identified in the Declaration of Independence and the demands of the elusive rights seen today. So I want to know what your thoughts are on that, and where do the rights end and the entitlements begin?
That is such an important point, Greg. And I think my comment on it is, no matter what, how good of a reason it is, I don't think that government should be in the business of taking from one person to give to another because it is, quote unquote, a good idea or an entitlement. And so I think that you're bringing up something. I'm going to have to chaw on that again today. My brain's going to be on fire. Greg Morrissey, I so appreciate you are a regular when we do Liberty Toastmasters Day, and you really make me think, and I really appreciate that, Greg.
I really appreciate doing that because I hope it makes a lot of people think. What we have with our rights under the Constitution under attack.
Most definitely, and it's important that we have this conversation. So, Greg Morrissey, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Okay, Marshall, let's go to break. When we come back, we have in the queue some more of our colleagues from Liberty Toastmasters. And again, if people want to get more information, how can they do that?
Go to toastmasters.org. You can learn all about the organization there. And also, you can go across the top of that webpage and punch in Find a Club and find one near you. Hopefully find Liberty Toastmasters North or Liberty Toastmasters in Denver.
And people can visit. Liberty Toastmasters Denver meets the first and third Saturdays of each month. Liberty North meets the second and fourth Saturdays of each month. We love to have guests, and you're welcome anytime.
That's right, 10 a.m.
Okay.
Let's see us in Longmont in 2 days, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Okay. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with another one of our colleagues, Terry Goon.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. It is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. We're going to have, I think, a big surprise on one of our podcasts this weekend, so you want to sign up for that. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is my friend Marshall Dawson. He is the president of Liberty Toastmasters North, and he is in co-hosting the show because it is Liberty Toastmasters Day. And Marshall, we are doing a kind of a table topics, which is this impromptu questions, although we actually did give them the questions to think about. But it's a good skill to learn, to get your brain around these issues and refresh our memory. What are the questions that we gave our fellow members?
Well, we have two today. One is, in America, is there a right to violate others' individual rights? But the second is, what is the difference between individual rights and entitlements?
And they can choose, or they can deflect as well, like
That's
Kurt
right.
did. Who is our next guest?
Our next guest is Terry Goon. Good morning, Terry. What are your thoughts?
Good morning, Marshall and Kim. Well, you know, you remember the math classes in the olden days with the individual rights and the sets and subsets. So individual rights are an entitlement. Problem is the language has skewed as entitlements have grown. So people are thinking that entitlements are individual rights. But individual rights actually don't
cost others things. So when you're looking at, is in America, is there a right to violate others' individual rights? Well, you taking my money so that you can have, let's say, health care, that is then violating what I may want to do with my money. Or it can even be roundabout, like quality of housing. Somebody, I think it was Greg, mentioned something about quality of housing is a great plus, a bonus to society. But if by insisting on a certain level of quality of housing, you're then you're growing the government in order to make that happen, and then the grown government has to be paid for somehow, and that's violating people's rights. So it's all a big combo of, and the language has changed so much between rights and entitlements that if people are thinking that their entitlements are their individual rights, but if your rights are costing other people something, now it's an entitlement and is not necessarily within the same subset. That's my thoughts.
Terry, I'm just going to jump in here because Patty and I have had this conversation. We've been watching all these income tax credits here in Colorado and all these tax credits to people, I guess, on the federal level as well, if they are buying an electric car. Specifically, we were talking about Tesla. And I was thinking about it, Terry, that if somebody doesn't pay their income taxes, ultimately they can go to jail, right? But yet you have government coming in saying, if you do this, if you buy this car, you're not going to have to pay so much in income taxes. And it's kind of like, I'm like, this is government like legalizing theft because they're trying to get an outcome. Your quick comment on that, I'm interjecting this very impromptu, but your quick comment on that, Terry.
Well, I would think that anything that where you pay less taxes is good because it's not their money, it's your money. So any out is a good, unless they're raising somebody else's taxes to make up for it, in which case it becomes a transfer of money, and then that's not fair.
Okay. Well, we could talk about this all day long, but Terry Goon, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Marshall, who's our next guest?
Our next guest. Dave Walden from Longmont. And Dave, I'm sure we'll have some real nuggets for us here. Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you?
Good morning, Marshall. Good morning, Kim. First, I want to succinctly address both of your questions. First one being, what is the difference between individual rights and entitlements? And I would simply point out that an individual right is a moral concept and entitlements a legal one. The second question is, in America, is there a right to violate others' individual rights? And here again, morally, you should be unable to do that. But here in America now, legally, we can do so. Now, unfortunately, we could do so for black Africans and perhaps the Indians from the very beginning. So in that sense, our founding was a little bit selective and flawed. But it doesn't take away from what our founding did create. Next, I'd like to do is define a right, what it is. And a right, an individual one, is first, always, and in finality, a moral concept. And the application and implication for a society built around them is that individual rights are the means of subordinating society to moral law. And it's important for your listeners to understand that, because the bottom line is that politics simply is the attempt to codify legally what one believes to be true, right, good, proper, just, etc. And all of our laws are attempts to implement legally what we have come to believe morally is right. I could go on and on, as you note, Kim, but I would conclude by simply saying that, and I would ask your listeners to give this some thought. You cannot have as a right that to which other people, they must first produce and provide. You have a right only to them abstaining from violating your rights. I mean, you cannot have, for example, a right to health care any more than you can have a right to food, clothing, shelter, or any other necessities. And if you disagree with that, well, then what happens is that you then begin to add to it. You add like a decent job, a living wage, a proper education, reliable transportation. I mean, and now we're talking about a guaranteed income. All of these things cannot be rights because what they do is they impose an obligation. Uh-huh. So having said all what I've said, I'll stop. And if any you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. But I would simply conclude by suggesting that to your listeners that you examine such things and think about them. Anyway, that's all.
Well, Dave Walden, this is why we learn so much from each other at Liberty Toastmasters. I'm going to be thinking about this all day, Marshall.
That was great. You know, one thing that I really picked up is that individual rights is a moral concept, mm-hmm. and entitlements is a legal one.
And when he mentioned politics, I was thinking, I heard the definition of politics of poly as many and mm-hmm. ticks as a blood-sucking insect.
That's right.
Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Okay.
So long, Dave.
Our next guest.
Our next guest is one of your members in Denver, and that's Lisa Carnahan. Hey, good morning, Lisa. What are your thoughts on these topics?
Good morning, Kim and Marshall. I wanted to talk about individual rights and just how they're important as a principle for establishing how you can relate with other people in society. In the Declaration of Independence, the Founding Fathers talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the point of having principles is to help us with our long-range goals and to think about our ability to pursue those. So we need to be able to secure our own lives, which involves our productivity, being able to go out and have a job and keep the rewards from that job, whether it's a supply like a food or earning a living with money. And then the freedom to spend that the way you want, to go out in the world and shop and exchange and trade what you earn for something else that will benefit your life so that you can pursue your happiness, to go out there and find things to make your life just wonderful and happy and fulfilling and rich. So anything that's an entitlement, like I think, like Dave was saying, is somebody else maybe having a right to the product of your labor or to your money through taxes, and that inhibits you from being able to exercise your principles, exercise your individual rights. And I think Dave just, you know, did a great job talking about it, really being able to subordinate society to a moral code, to laws that benefit your own life is just very, very important. And I think it's really important that we think about that when we're seeing things being passed or we're electing people to represent us, to really consider about our principles and making sure we're valuing our own lives, but also the lives of everyone around us.
Well, most definitely. And there, when Dave was talking about a moral code, it is not moral to use government to pick winners and losers and to take from one and to give to another. That is a real assault on individual rights. Lisa Carnahan, thank you so much. I always appreciate, I'm always like on the edge of my seat to find out what you have to say about things.
Thanks so much.
Marshall Dawson, this is so rich when we have our fellow Toastmasters on.
It is. And like I said before, I always enjoy moderating table topics because I can come up with the answers and then, or come up with questions and get really good answers, and it makes me smarter.
Well, it does. It makes all of us smarter. And learning to communicate at Liberty Toastmasters has been a real gift to me. I'm so grateful to Brad Beck and all the co-founders of Liberty Toastmasters. They have helped so many people become better speakers, become better leaders, become better communicators. And that is really important. Your final thoughts, Marshall, regarding all of this?
All of this. Wow. Well, you know, Terry said something that was really intelligent, and that is that rights can't come at a cost to somebody else. And I mentioned equity before, and we're going to be hearing a lot more about that. We need to really be aware of that because it's going to be a violation of our rights.
So there's a difference between equity and equality.
A big difference, but I think that they're counting on us being lazy and thinking it's just kind of the same thing, but it's really not. There's a magician you might know, Penn Jillette, who talks about libertarianism. And he has a really powerful speech about would I point a gun at my neighbor's head, at your head, to build a library?
Ooh.
Would I point a gun to have health care for somebody else? And the answer, when you really think about it, is, well, no. I would hope that our fellow man wouldn't do that. But yet, so many times we view entitlements not as a violation of everyone else's rights, but something that comes from the government. But anything that comes from the government comes at a cost from everyone else.
Is taken from somebody first, and we need to remember that. Marshall Dawson, this all goes so quickly. It's so great to have you in studio, and how can people join you in a couple of days up at Liberty Toastmasters North?
In a couple of days, go to toastmasters.org. Across the top of that webpage, punch in Find a Club, look in Longmont, or look in Denver if that's your proclivity, and come find us at 10 o'clock on Saturday.
Most so. And is it both virtual and in person?
We are not a virtual club.
Okay, in person. There you
That's
go.
Right.
You'll get to see people. Marshall Dawson, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kim.
And our quote for today is from Jim Rohn. He said, if you just communicate, you can get by. But if you can communicate skillfully, you can work miracles. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. You are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry.